Welcome to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My guest is Brian McGrath, the Office of Justice Programs in the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. Brian, in many ways, welcome back to the show. In many ways, welcome to the show for the first time.
Thank you very much for having me, Jason.
Well, as I said, you've been on the show when you were at the Census Bureau as a CIO there many times. Now that you're with the Office of Justice Programs, let's start with a little bit about your transition. It's been about a year since you came over to OJP. Tell me why you came and how's the learning curve been so far?
I always anticipated that at some point in my career, I would return back to the Department of Justice, and I had set out some criteria for myself. Certainly enjoyed a wonderful 6 years at the Census Bureau, but three of the criteria that I set for myself for moving on to the next stage of my professional career was, one, I always hoped that I would return back to the Department of Justice. Two, I was looking for an opportunity to return to a slightly smaller agency where I could perhaps be a little bit more hands-on in the day-to-day activities. And third, I was interested in working downtown again. I very much enjoy the energy and the excitement of the city. So OJP presented the perfect opportunity for me to realize those three goals.
Talk a little bit about your earlier career, because you were at Justice early in your career. You left, and then you obviously, as you said, returned. So you worked where else at the Justice Department previously?
Out of the 33 years of my career, all but six have been spent in some form of the criminal justice arena. In the early stages of my career, I worked doing some undercover investigative work for a private security agency, and then spent 8 years as a probation and parole officer in both the state of New Jersey and then Northern Virginia, Alexandria, for the Department of Corrections. I then had a tremendous opportunity to move on to the IT side of things as the coordinator of criminal justice systems for the city of Alexandria, which I did for nearly 10 years. Just a fantastic experience working with all aspects of the criminal justice system, from the courts to the Commonwealth Attorney, the sheriff, the police, the public defender's office, as well as the Department of Corrections, and building what at that point was early onset of integrated criminal justice, building a single system where all of those entities could share a common platform and a common data set. I then ventured into the realm of the federal government and applied for a job with the Department of Justice, Justice Management Division within the Office of the CIO as Associate Director for Enterprise Solutions, and had an opportunity to work on the Joint Automated Booking System, which was in the early stages at that time and kind of groundbreaking technology to allow the electronic submission of fingerprints from all over the world into the FBI's AIFIS system and then receive an automated response. Was just so fortunate to work with a great team. The team won a number of awards for just really developing and delivering a solid technological platform to really make a difference in the lives of the police officers who were on the ground. I then had the opportunity to move to the Executive Office for Immigration Review, where I served 5 years as their CIO. And again, just great opportunities delivering kind of cutting-edge technology to aid in the adjudication of immigration hearings and information sharing across the organization, which then led me to Census, which was just a fantastic opportunity where the organization has such a profound impact on the lives of each American citizen every day. So that was a great experience. But as I said, I always hoped I'd make my way back to the Department of Justice, and I'm really thankful for the opportunity that they've afforded me.
Do you think coming from Census and then going back to Justice, was there a huge learning curve, or did you feel like a lot of this was kind of refamiliarization of the programs and the processes and the people? And then, of course, IT is IT no matter where you go.
A lot of the challenges that we faced at Census, we faced at EOIR, are in many ways identical to the challenges we're facing here at OJP from an IT perspective. What was really intriguing to me is to get back into the criminal justice fold and, you know, have an opportunity to learn more about the mission of OJP. But what's really exciting is applying technology to help solve some of the business problems that the organization is facing and hopefully help provide some culture change and through IT and developing new and innovative solutions that can help the agency move forward.
And I like the fact that when you said one of the main reasons was to go to a smaller agency and be a little more hands-on. So does that mean, is that foot in the strategic side and the foot in the operational side? Is there a bigger foot, if you will, in the operational side nowadays?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when I was at the Census Bureau, the Office of the CIO is, from a staffing perspective, larger than OJP is as an organization. So, you know, by definition, I didn't have the opportunity to be as focused in the day-to-day operations. You know, our organization here is about 60 government FTEs, and then probably about 200 contractors that support the Office of the CIO for OJP. And it just really does afford me an opportunity to be a little bit more hands-on, which I really enjoy.
That's interesting, because a lot of times CIOs want to be less hands-on, and then they realize they miss it, and then it's hard to go backwards. So has that been the biggest learning curve? Is it kind of like change your mindset? Or has been the biggest learning curve kind of the idea of, okay, what is OJP's mission? How do I relate it back to the broader issues of IT?
You know, having spent 27 years of my career in some form of criminal justice, adapting to the mission of OJP was probably the easiest part. You know, structuring the organization, the OCIO organization here at OJP, in such a way that it can be responsive, not only responsive, but really provide thought leadership from an IT perspective to help. You know, I know IT people don't like to say this, but, you know, to help drive the organization. And, you know, it's always a push and a pull relationship, but I think there are times when IT can really provide the thought leadership to help the organization improve and meet their organizational objectives.
And I think that's obviously the most important thing is to provide that leadership in the right way. And I think, you know, as you said, making the culture change is tough. Well, it's been almost 2 years since I've had the CIO of the Office of Justice Programs on my program. So let me begin with some of those older priorities that, you know, hopefully had pushed forward some of that culture change you talked about. At the time when I talked to the CIO a couple years ago, there's a big focus on mobility through the use of smartphones and tablet computers. Give me a sense, what's the latest with that effort?
The Office of Justice Programs really embarked on a very forward-leaning mobility initiative, you know, in many ways driven by opportunities to reduce our office footprint here, and we're located in the heart of Chinatown. But really, you know, I have to give credit to our director of the Office of Administration, Phil Merkel. He really provided the thought leadership to formulate the ideas and then partner with IT to help realize them. So we have a very highly mobile workforce. We're very much support telework. The vast majority of my staff telework quite a lot. We support not only remote access from home via government furnished equipment and BYOD, but for staff that do come in, we have just a fantastic hoteling arrangement where there's an online capability for staff to reserve a workstation either on the top floor of the building or in the basement. We issue everyone a laptop, so there's docking stations throughout that hoteling environment. They reserve their space, and then they come in and dock their workstation. They have complete access to all the systems that they normally would.
And I think people forget that hoteling is such a big part of it. You know, you can give people laptops, and you can say to them, hey, just come on in, you'll find a seat. But having that system in place, is that also moving out, you know, from not just coming into the office or working from home, but also allowing OJP employees to work in the field as necessary and appropriate?
Yeah, absolutely. We just upgraded to the iPhone 6 that we issued to all of our staff. We support the peering opportunities to use a mobile hotspot. You know, we're doing some piloting it right now with a Microsoft Surface, peering with our mobile device to provide connectivity for staff that have, you know, longer commutes. So, you know, if we have somebody who's on the bus for an hour and a half or 2 hours, we can enable them to be productive for that time that they're completely on the bus. And, you know, again, through a small form factor, they can get access through VDI, and it's secure, and it allows them to be productive while they're commuting.
And actually, that was my next question, whether you guys implement some kind of VPN system, some VDI, and how does that work? Because a lot of times when I talk to CIOs about mobility, that's the sticking point, right? You can give them access to maybe email and calendar and contacts, but really, can you do more than that? How have you guys kind of taken that ability and make sure it's secure but still accessible?
We've made a pretty significant investment in VDI. We're leveraging the Citrix solution. We provide Citrix VDI for all of our remote access, so anywhere outside the building. Using two-factor authentication, staff can either use their personally owned equipment or they can actually take their government-issued equipment home if they choose and log in and get their full desktop. Part of the long-term strategy is that we're going to move to a total VDI environment where we're going to deploy desktop services both internally and externally via VDI. And we have about an 18-month plan in place where we're going to begin a series of upgrades to the infrastructure to support the increased demand, as well as optimize the environment. So our customers will have a common experience, whether they're at home, whether they're on their personally owned equipment, or whether they're sitting in the office. We think that'll have a profound impact on the way people do business.
It's interesting when you talk about the VDI, so it's a common experience. So then we also move into the zero client thin client setup, because if you're trusting to use either BYOD or the government furnished device, you got to be able to push patches or at least secure the back end as they connect through. So what's the plan there through, you know, Zero Client or Thin Client?
That is a big piece of our next iteration. We want to evaluate how do we support mobility within the building. So staff that actually come into our offices, we've completely enabled the building with wireless. So today, when I'm working at my desk, I dock my laptop. I have a dual monitor and keyboard set up. When I go to a meeting within the building, I just undock my laptop. It automatically connects to our wireless network, and I take my desktop with me. One of the challenges that we face is how will we support that mobility within the building? And so even if we give you a zero client, people have become accustomed and actually allows them to be more productive if they can take their laptop with them to a meeting. So we're looking at different, you know, perhaps a smaller form factor that will support that mobility and actually may make it easier for people to take the device home. Like all CIOs, we're looking at a defense-in-depth strategy. There's no one technology or one activity that's going to secure our networks and our systems and our data. We are big proponents of using the PIV card for two-factor authentication. We are using that in addition to the RSA token for remote access on BYOD. But you know, one of the things we do really like about BDI is there's no data on the endpoint. So that definitely increases the strength of our security posture. All the data sits in the data center or the cloud. We focus our efforts on two-factor authentication, access, and then securing the back end. And we think that'll go a long way to making sure our data and systems are secure.
All right, something to look out for, maybe to catch up with you in the future. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk maybe a few other older priorities. VDI was one of those, so we'll I think there's a few other things that are out there. My guest is Brian McGrath, the CIO of the Office of Justice Programs in the Justice Department. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Brian McGrath, the Chief Information Officer at the Office of Justice Programs in the Justice Department. Now, Brian, before break, we got into some older priorities. One of them was VDI and mobility. Another older priority was around grants management, a big, big issue for the Office of Justice Programs. When I talked to the CIO a couple of years ago, there was this move toward shared services. What's the status of that effort? And let's talk a little bit also about a recent critical IG report where the IG said that OJP could have done a better job in terms of how it manages its grants. From a CIO's perspective, how are you helping with those processes? So let's first start with shared services and grants management.
At this time, there's an initiative underway here at the Department of Justice, which we're calling GrantsNet, which, although OJP is the largest grant-making entity at the Department of Justice, we are certainly not the only. We have two sister organizations, the COPS organization and OVW, where the three of us are the entities that deliver the grants and make the important decisions as to what type of profile the grant should look like, as well as, you know, who gets the funding. There's an initiative underway where the three organizations are partnering to deliver common IT capabilities to meet their independent needs for the grant-making process. So the three agencies have come together. What we're looking to do at this point is leverage existing capabilities. So, for example, we have some capabilities here at OJP that we're looking to enhance to meet a certain business segment requirement for all three agencies. COPS is in the same position today where they're delivering. They have some capabilities that we like, and they're going to enhance them to meet some of our unique and specific business operations. So that effort is underway. There's been a series of deliverables that have been released. We'll be looking at delivering an integrated, what we call program plan, which is the forecast of grant activities for the coming year in such a way that jurisdictions and organizations can do a unified search where they can search one entity and see all the grant opportunities across the three agencies. And then we're doing some integration and reporting and data mining capabilities on the back end that will support all three organizations. So good progress so far. You know, always some challenges when you're working on cross-organizational IT activities, but I think we're on the right track and we're moving forward.
I think that's a super example of taking what you have today and sharing versus saying, let's just scrap everything we have today and begin again with a brand new system that all three of us can use. And I think that that's not talked about a lot in government. When you brought the three organizations together, it was OJP, COPS, and remind me of the third one.
OVW.
OVW. When the three got together, how did that conversation go? Was everybody on the same page saying, yes, let's share what we have? Or was there somebody who said, no, let's buy something new? Because that never ends well, it seems like.
Yeah, in the early stages of the initiative, the three organizations got together and they actually commissioned a study by Gartner to look at what are the options that would be available to them. And based on the output of the Gartner report, it seemed to make most sense, both from a fiscal perspective and from a speed-to-market perspective, to leverage the existing capabilities the three agencies have and integrate them. We are building, in essence, the glue, if you will, via sort of standard architecture where we can connect the systems to share the data. So OJP is taking the point on that, but the COPS office is doing some great work right now with extending some capabilities that they have.
And sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, it's the 80-20 rule, right? Where when I really dig down and look at your capabilities, 80% of my needs are met. How do we get the other 20%? Did you find that in terms of maybe not across the board, but in many of the major capabilities, you all had similar needs and it was just that the gap was small?
I don't know if I would say 80%, but I think your point is well made. There is a lot of common capabilities that each organization needs to perfect their business, and that's what we're trying to leverage today. Not reinvent the wheel, but try to be as efficient and effective as we can to leverage those existing capabilities.
How much of this one common mistake that people make when you're trying to bring in someone else's capability is you want to try to change the capability versus changing your business processes? Are you also looking at your business processes to say, can we adapt to meet those current capabilities so the technology doesn't necessarily need to change too much or at all?
Yeah, absolutely. We have the benefit of having strong leadership and strong participation from each one of the three components. The Deputy Assistant Attorney General for OJP is the chair of the Executive Steering Committee, and her counterparts sit on that committee. So it's very much it's a business-driven solution, and business-based decisions are being made that impact and both inform and are driven by the IT, but it's not an IT-driven initiative.
I know so many times that is the IT gets, you know, the requirements are thrown over the wall, over the fence, and it says go, and then all of a sudden things go downhill from there. I want to bring up the other piece of the discussion was around OJP's grant management. Generally speaking, there was an IG report that was critical of how OJP is doing it. I'm not going to ask you to comment on the report or what they found, but more or less from a CIO's perspective, how are you helping to improve the processes?
You know, in addition to the GrantsNet initiative, we're actually taking a look at some of our existing IT systems and figuring out how we can optimize them. One of the things I think all CIOs struggle with is how do we position ourselves to move at the speed of business? And, you know, in many instances, if you can't move at the speed of the business will go around you. You know, we're looking to leverage shared services. And, you know, my former compadre from the Department of Commerce, Joe Klimovitz, is now our CIO for DOJ. We're leveraging all the shared services that we can from them. We secure all of our email and calendaring services from them. They're in the midst of moving an on-prem solution to the cloud, and we're scheduled to be migrated in the March timeframe of next year. So we're excited to be part of that. We also have lots of energy around the cloud and how we can leverage the cloud to not only drive down costs, but also, you know, again, agility is just a huge component of our ability to deliver services, and certainly something that the federal government struggles with.
And I know that one of the things about grant making, it comes in cycles. It's not like you're always going with grants every month. It probably comes where you put out an opportunity, and then a month or 2 months later, you get this huge influx of applications, and then things slow down until you make awards. And once you make awards, there's another big push. So imagine using the cloud and the agility and the ability for it to kind of, you need more compute power, less compute power, et cetera. Do you get a sense that that's where the cloud will improve the processes?
From a scalability perspective, that's certainly important. But, you know, also from a provisioning of infrastructure or provisioning of services perspective, we have a cloud-based infrastructure as a service contract where we can secure not only Amazon, but Microsoft infrastructure as a service. The department has recently put something very similar in place. So we're exceedingly fortunate that we have two vehicles that we can use. And, you know, rather than having to go through the normal procurement process, which takes time and requires an outlay of capital, we can buy by the drink what we need from an infrastructure perspective. So we want to test a particular software. We want to, you know, work on something or start building out a system. you know, we've got some smart engineer here. They just log on to the console, and 30 minutes later, the infrastructure is provisioned, and we're ready to go.
Isn't that so nice? It's so much different than it was, you know, 15, 20, 30 years ago when you first started, in terms of, hey, we want to try something. Okay, we'll go through this 6-month to 9-month procurement process to set up the servers and do everything. And then now you're ready to test. So it's such a big change.
It's such an awesome time, frankly, to be a CIO, because you know, you talk about infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. You know, I think most CIOs these days, we're talking about everything as a service. Our value to the organization is not measured by the number of servers we have in our data center. It's, you know, how can we have an impact on the business? And sometimes, you know, with some agility, it positions us to bring real thought leadership where we can, you know, evaluate and consider some options and present them to the business early on before decisions are made to help guide the decision-making process. So it's really an exciting time. I don't need to be in the business of running email servers anymore. As long as I provide functionality and the reliability and secure email, you know, if I can buy that from somebody better, faster, cheaper than I can deliver it myself, then, you know, that's a win-win for everybody.
All right, Brian, I'm going to take that clip that you just said, awesome time to be a CIO. I'm going to put it on a loop and send it to all your CIO counterparts and remind them that this is a great time. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, I want to jump more into the cloud. You give us a little bit of a taste of what you guys are doing. My guest is Brian McGrath, the man who just said it's awesome time to be a CIO. He is the CIO of the Office of Justice Programs at the Justice Department. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Brian McGrath, the Office of Justice Programs Chief Information Officer. Brian, before break, we're talking a lot about grants management and how you guys are kind of addressing some of the challenges around grants management. And you brought up cloud and you brought up shared services, two of my favorite topics. Let me start with the cloud. You talked about using some email, some collaboration tools in the cloud through a shared service that the Justice Department is putting together. Where are you today? You said, I think, March timeframe, you're hoping to begin the migration. What's the big change that's going to happen when you get to that March timeframe in terms of moving your email, your collaboration tools to the cloud?
We're part of a larger initiative at the Department of Justice where all the bureaus and components are considering and moving to this new environment that Joe Klimovitz's organization is spearheading for us. So I think at the end of the day, we're going to see reduced costs. That's based on the numbers that we're being provided from Joe's organization, reduce costs. And I think we'll have the benefit of agility. So as these large email providers roll out new functionality, you know, we'll be in a position to benefit from it. There'll be some bumps along the road in the transition. I'm sure there's some interfaces and connectivities that exist today that will provide us some challenges, but we'll work through them just like everybody else does. We'll have some training that we'll need to do with our customers because they'll have some additional capabilities that they don't enjoy today. But those are nice problems to have as we're moving in this journey towards more shared services.
Now, currently, how many email systems do you have, or is it just the one on-premise, but it's, you know, Microsoft, you know, ME or something? Where are you with the email?
So we currently today receive our email and calendaring from a shared service that's provided by the Department of Justice CIO. What they're planning to do is, so it's an on-prem solution that we consume as a shared service from them. They'll be moving to an off-prem cloud-based solution that all the DOJ will benefit from.
Okay, so in many ways, the change will be good, but it's not going to be a major change because you already are into a shared service. So it's not like you have a group of data centers or a group of people running in the data center running your email already.
I benefit from not having to run my own Exchange infrastructure today, and I'm thankful for that.
Cloud is much bigger than email and just collaboration tools. Talk about where else the Office of Justice Programs is moving toward or today is using the cloud.
So as I indicated earlier, we have a contract in place that allows us to buy infrastructure as a service from both Amazon and Microsoft. We presently have 45 websites that are publicly facing that sit in the Amazon GovCloud environment that we're in the process of moving all of our websites into that environment. We've established a common framework for how we can provision that infrastructure. We have a common security enclave. I'm really pleased to announce that we have placed all of that infrastructure behind the tick. So we've actually placed our websites that sit in the Amazon GovCloud sit behind the tick. So all the traffic traverses through the tick services that are provided by the Department of Justice. So, you know, nothing's ever perfect, but I believe we've made some really great steps forward. So we benefit from a multi-depth approach. We have the benefits of Einstein that DHS is providing. We have the benefits of the department. We have the benefits of the security applications that we've put in place, as well as Amazon security. So I'm pleased that we've been able to do that. Again, nothing's perfect. I think we've made some great strides in securing that environment. The other area that I would really like to talk about as well is we're in the process of building a new system to administer benefits to public safety officers. So it's called the Public Safety Officer Benefits Program. It's a new website that will allow first responders, either who are injured and or family members of first responders that are killed in the line of duty, to apply for federally administered benefits. The Bureau of Justice Assistance administers that program here within OJP. And we're in the process of building them a new system. And when I say building, I'm being slightly disingenuous, because we're leveraging the Microsoft Azure Cloud Software as a Service CRM offering. And what we're really doing is we're just tailoring and configuring that environment to meet these requirements. And the project's gone really well. When we talk about speed to market, you know, again, what we have to do is have contracts in place. I don't have to buy servers. I don't have to buy software. We're leveraging Microsoft Professional Services to help us tailor that environment. And we're scheduled to go live with that system in November, which will be almost exactly 12 months from the time the concept started. So we think that shows some pretty good agility, and we're excited about it. We're capturing great lessons learned. We'll capture more, and we think that may really hold some promise for how we deliver capabilities in the future.
All right, so two big announcements here, and I appreciate it. We always love news on the show. I'm going to start with the more, if you will, behind-the-scenes one. Getting all your traffic through Tick is a huge, huge accomplishment. I think agencies are struggling when they how to match the Tick with the cloud and to ensure the defense in depth approach. Talk a little bit about, if you can, how you did it, because, again, I think there's a lot of lessons learned here for other agencies.
It's all about partnership. And, you know, one of the components within the Office of Justice programs is the Bureau of Justice Statistics. So coming from a statistical agency, I have some experience understanding the challenges that statistical agencies face and the independence that they have to face and the assertions that they need to make to the American public who provide data as part of surveys, that the data is going to be secure. So it's a bit of a dichotomy. So while we want to make sure that the data is generally secure from bad actors, we also have to be conscious of the fact that the data is only used for the statistical purposes for which it was intended. So there was a series of many conversations with my counterparts in BJS, and they were great to work with. As far as the technical aspects of things, it was a great partnership between Joe's organization and the FBI, who are providing the TIC services. Some great smart minds came up with an engineering approach that worked. We had some concerns early on about throughput and latency. Those did not materialize, so we're very pleased with the performance. And, you know, I can't thank my counterparts in Joe's organization and the FBI enough for really partnering with us and kind of pushing the envelope a little bit, but it's definitely bearing fruit.
Well, I'm not going to ask you to get into all the nitty-gritty details of the technical aspects, but we'll just ask this one question around. If another CIO came to you and said, hey, we're struggling with this, can you help? Would the technical aspects that you faced be similar to another CIO? Obviously, there's changes in network and infrastructure, but generally speaking, or is this something you could share with others?
Absolutely. We've done some information sharing already within the DOJ community. We've shared what we've done. And actually, we learned some great lessons from our counterparts at the Executive Office for U.S. Attorneys, ATF. Roger Beasley is doing some great work over there, and Sonia Thompson at BOP. We've all gotten together and had some technical exchange meetings where we've shared what we're doing and some of the challenges, and that was extremely helpful for us to refine our process as well. I mean, ultimately, what we're looking for is the department to provide kind of that extensible layer from our internal network out to the cloud through the TIC. And we've certainly shared with Joe what we've done so far.
Excellent. Obviously, if other CIOs call you from around the government, obviously you'll be able to help them as well. Because I know, if you talk to other CIOs, I've talked to DHS about this, that merging the TIC with the cloud has not been as easy as I think people hoped. And you brought up the statistical agencies. There's a big concern there as well. I want to go backwards again and talk about this new system for the public safety officers. This is incredible as well that you're moving from concept to implementation in just about a year. Obviously, there's agile development in there somewhere. Talk a little bit about how you were able to move so quickly.
We have adapted an agile development methodology, and it's always a little bit challenging at first because it requires this high level of interaction both between the development team and the subject matter experts. And we found there's generally some delays in the beginning until you get kind of a cadence in place. But, you know, once we've gotten that down to a routine, it really seems to have worked quite well. You know, our customer has had some oversight help on this specific topic as well. And so their business process has been changing throughout the development lifecycle as they have continued to refine. And without using an agile development methodology, we would have incurred significant cost overruns and significant delays. We never would have met the goal of delivering the system to the American public in the month of November 2016. But, you know, it was a lot of taking an idea, developing something in a short iteration, and showing it back to the customer. And, you know, there were certainly times when they said, you know, that's not what we were looking for. But, you know, when you compress that cycle down to a week, you can really manage it. And you can make mistakes. You know, fail, but fail fast, I think. And we've done that. But it's proven to be very, very beneficial. And we're super excited about the program. We think the system's going to be great. And we think we're really kind of top dead center on meeting the requirements that our customers are looking for.
So that was actually my other question around how long were the sprints? Were you talking about a week at a time, 2 weeks? And I know each capability maybe was a little different, but on average, what were you looking at for your sprints?
In early stages, they were a little bit longer because we had some infrastructure, you know, kind of had to frame the house a little bit, if you will. But now we're at about a 1 week sprint interval. The key there for us is, you know, making sure we have the expertise to manage a scrum. Right. So we have our backlog, we have our burn down, you know, making sure we're managing that and communicating that to the customer so that they know what they're going to see and they can frame their evaluation based on their anticipated delivery.
Excellent. I think that's excellent news. And obviously, this is something you can do going forward, saying we take these lessons from this one project and apply them to future projects. Hopefully that's your plan.
Absolutely.
Brian, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've talked a lot about old priorities, though we've definitely marveled in a lot of new ones. We're going to jump deeper into those new priorities, but first we're going to take a break. My guest is Brian McGrath, the Office of Justice Programs Chief Information Officer. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.
You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. You are listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec. Now, here's your host, Jason Miller.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest is Brian McGrath, the Justice Department's Office of Justice Programs Chief Information Officer. Now, Brian, before break, we talked a lot about old priorities, though. Again, you told us about some new priorities, including some around cloud and grants management. What other priorities are on your plate? How much more can fit on your plate over the next 6 or 9 months?
We have three priorities that we're focused on for 2017. And the first is to bring to resolution and deliver the system for the Public Safety Officer Benefits Program. As I hope you can tell the excitement in my voice, we're really excited about not only the IT piece of it and what we're learning from software as a service, but you know, the opportunity to partner with the Bureau of Justice Assistance is really exciting and deliver a system that really, you know, can deliver benefits to the people that need them the most. Second is our grants management and GrantsNet initiative. One of the aspects that we're going to start to look at is, you know, there's a big component of that, a big core part of the system that's today outside the scope of the GrantsNet initiative that we need to modernize. And this is a nice opportunity for me to leverage some of the experience that I had at Census, but we want to look at platform as a service as a potential solution there. And we've had benefit of that expertise, but also some information sharing that's gone on with some of the other DOJ component CIOs that has been very formative and we think holds some real promise for us. We're not going to be in the business of building a system from the ground up. We want to minimize our need to custom develop anything. So beyond infrastructure and platform, we really think, you know, software as a service is a real viable solution for us. So we're going to start to spend some time there. And, you know, just continuing to support the business from a mobility perspective, you know, we think having a mobile workforce, the hoteling arrangement and space that we have here, we think is just top notch. We think it gives us a competitive advantage to attract and retain the high caliber, not only business folks that we need, but also the IT resources. When you have that kind of flexibility, you know, hopefully that's a positive benefit. One other area that we're focused on is we've built for the delivery of websites. And we talked a little bit about having 45 websites in the Amazon Government Cloud. We've built what we call a common platform in that environment. And that will allow us to secure the infrastructure, secure the application, and then deliver the websites on top of that in a rapid, secure way. In the coming weeks, we have a big announcement for a police mental health toolkit that we're going to be delivering via that environment. Very exciting. We think it's a very forward-leaning website. It's not a traditional government website look and feel. So we're excited. We understand that the Attorney General is going to be announcing that website in the coming weeks at the International Association of Chiefs of Police Conference. So we're excited. We also think that that will allow us to rapidly deliver additional toolkits and websites for our business. So that's where our focus is in the coming year. Obviously, we're always focused on security, but we're building out our organization here. We're taking a centers of excellence approach, positioning each one of our divisions within the Office of the CIO to become a center of excellence that each other part of the organization can leverage. So exciting times here at OJP.
Now, when you talk about centers of excellence, are you talking about by mission area? So maybe someone in the grants mission, someone in other missions, or are you talking about centers of excellence around security or applications or cloud or whatever topic it is?
Centers of excellence within my organization, the Office of the CIO. So we're building out a program and project management discipline and capability that is somewhat new to the organization here. I was fortunate enough to hire Amanda Williams to come over from the Census Bureau and help us spearhead that. We're looking to consolidate all of our core responsibilities from the functional areas within my organization into the policy and planning division. We're creating a center of excellence around application development. We just recently hired a chief technology officer. I'm ecstatic to report that Ira Barron will be joining us to be our CTO to really bring that technological thought leadership so that as we look to, to solve business problems in the future, we've got a solid base of new and emerging technology that we can draw on to make sure we're delivering the right technology at the right time for the right solution. Focusing a lot on infrastructure and engineering, and that's an area that's really changing for us. You know, we're heavy consumers of the data centers that are provided by DOJ. As I'm sure you're aware, there's a significant effort to consolidate the data centers within DOJ. We're looking to leverage the cloud as well as reprovision resources from some disparate data centers into the primary data centers that DOJ will be leveraging going forward. So, and we're spending a lot of time on enterprise architecture and how do we define our standards? What's our TRM look like? Defining our infrastructure roadmap so that we understand what we have today and then making sure we have the infrastructure in place to meet those business requirements as they materialize in the future.
So a lot there. Let me back up. Obviously, always would love the people news. So congratulations on hiring a CTO. Ira, where is he coming from?
He's presently coming from the private sector. He's been supporting some of the initiatives here in Joe's organization, and we were fortunate enough to attract him from the private sector into the government.
Very nice. Now, was that position, did you have someone there previously, or is this kind of a new position?
This is a new position for us.
All right, very nice. I think it's another trend. The other one I want to talk about was this idea of the web platform. You seem to where your websites will sit. We'll obviously look forward to the Attorney General's announcement in the coming weeks. At the same time, what will this do for you to have that common platform, that common infrastructure to put applications on top of? What does that mean for the CIO's organization?
Two of the primary drivers for us is reducing cost, speed to market, and improving our security. So I guess it's actually three. You know, by building a common platform, we can deliver the system. So all we really have to do is focus on moving modules around to embed capabilities into future sites and the content. So the content becomes the most challenging piece. We can integrate that into a very forward-leaning website design that's very modular in nature. So we're not building each site from the ground up. We've already done the certification accreditation work on the infrastructure so that we can leverage from website to website. We don't have to redo that. That improves our speed to market, reduces our costs, frankly, increases our security posture. So, you know, really, two primarily is we can deliver the services that our customers need faster and cheaper.
And I think, you know, people underestimate the importance of having that common standard, that common platform. So very exciting stuff. One priority you didn't mention, but I can only imagine it's a priority, is around big data. You guys really are a big data agency in many regards. Talk a little bit about the big data challenge and some of maybe the tools you're looking to buy or have bought recently.
Part of the GrantsNet initiative is we're building an enterprise reporting capability that all three of the agencies, OJP, COPS, and OVW, will leverage, bringing in a vast array of data sets from those three organizations into a common framework that will allow them to do some big data aggregation and analysis. The big piece that we're going to really start to focus on is the whole geospatial component of it. So we have the data. We can do great analysis of the data. But kind of the missing piece is the geospatial, and that's going to become an area of focus for us so that we have great data that we can then use. So we're making grant awards to particular areas, is it having a positive impact on the crime rate? Is it having a positive impact on something else or negative? And we do some of that today, but I think adding that geospatial layer so you can visually appreciate and consume the data will be a really great step forward.
Now, are you already in process of buying one? Do you already have one under contract, or is that something that you are just starting down the path?
So we're in the process of evaluating a couple of different geospatial tools. One of the nice things is that the solution that we have to date will not bind us to any one geospatial tool. So we want to look at a couple of different. They all have strengths and weaknesses. We may end up not settling on one depending on the capabilities that we need. So we're in the early stages of really assessing what the solutions look like and the capabilities they'll provide.
All right, so maybe something to look out for, maybe an RFP in the future, maybe not. I guess it's all under discussion right now. Brian, we are almost out of time. Before I let you go, I always like to ask the getaway question. I know a lot of vendors listen to my program. Give me a sense. What should vendors know about working with your office?
Well, really two primary things. One, anybody that we're going to do business with, we're looking for a partnership. We're not in the business of telling our contractors how to do their business, but we do expect them to give us some feedback and have an open and frank dialogue with us. You know, I think many times we don't open ourselves to benefit from the expertise that our vendors bring to us. That's clearly the climate and the environment that we want to make and create here at OJP. You know, whoever we do business with, we want a partnership. We want to have free and open communication. We want them to challenge us, and we want them to be prepared for us to challenge them.
I think that's great advice. So many times vendors think, I just have to come in and do what I'm told and not offer an opinion or not offer their expertise. So it's good to hear CIO going on the record, if you will, to say, no, we do want that. So thank you for being clear on that. Brian, it sounds like we could talk longer. You have a ton going on, but unfortunately, we are out of time. I'd like to thank my guest, Brian McGrath, the CIO at the Office of Justice Programs in the Justice Department. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us today.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you for listening to Ask the CIO, sponsored by Symantec on federalnewsradio.com and 1500.